Lord's servant God says, the Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple and one who is taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one is taught. Lord God has opened my ear and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for what you've already done in our midst. We just ask you to come now and just manifest yourself whichever way you see fit tonight. And we just give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, and I don't know how many scriptures I'm even going to get into tonight, but you know, it says in Hebrews, you know, it talks about Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God, and we must know that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, and I haven't really taught a lot about, or I've never really said anything about, hey, let's try to get a reward. But I think that God wants me to talk about that tonight, because I think He wants to give out rewards, you know? So when you're standing up as a coach and athletes do different things, and you have an award for the most improved, you know, and they come up and they get that, and everybody, you know, agrees with them. Maybe there's a couple of them thinks that they should have it, but this guy gets it. You know, I mean, rewards, you know? And just know this, that the Lord wants to give you a reward. He's pulling for you. You know, He wants you to be the most improved Christian on the earth. All right? Why not? Why not? Charles, you could be the most improved Christian on the earth this year. You know that? You didn't make it this year, but you can that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, you know, why not? Rewards of those that, what, diligently seek Him. And I know that I'm in the middle of people right now tonight, because that we are people that seek Him. I know that you seek Him. I can see it on your faces. I can see it in your life. You can see it on the anointing, you know. I mean, it's just there. So you're seekers of the Lord, and He wants to reward you. And diligence is something that comes and goes sometimes, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we wake up and we're just, I was doing really good. I haven't gotten the honey buns or anything like that. Okay, I'm doing good. I'm in Aldi. I'm doing great. And but then I walk by the chocolate bar, because I always get chocolate for my wife. You know, I always give her that, you know, that 80% cocoa or whatever, you know, get her that. I always bring her one home every time. And, you know, dude, I got a chocolate bar. I just ate that, and I ate the whole thing. It's not one of these little ones. This is a big one. I left a little bit of a chunk. I didn't share it with anybody. I mean, I've got some work. You know, I got to put this body on the altar. You know, I've never thought about that. I'm really thinking about it. I know that's a little thing, but it's really actually a big thing, that when I cannot sit there and walk by chocolate and not eat it, or get in and go in and out of Aldi without I bought cookies too. I did that. I bought cookies and I bought the oatmeal because, you know, they're healthy. But then there were these other cream cookies. They were like maple cream. And they were a little shape of little leaves, and I said, man, I could just taste it. I didn't even open it up. That's I don't know if that's evil, prophetic, or what it is, but it's like I knew what it was going to taste like before I got it. And I was sitting there, you know, in my mind thinking, oh, this is going to be so good, and I bought it. I know it's a little thing, but I think the Holy Spirit's really teaching me something here, you know, about the flesh, you know, and how He's dealing with us in this arena. You know, that we need to probably take this thing and get it on the altar, make sure it's dead. You know, I don't know, but it's just something I think that we all struggle with from time to time. Now, the struggle is in the fact that we got the Holy Spirit in us kind of pointing out things at times, or things that we're not completely comfortable with, whether it be an attitude or whatever it might be. But the flesh is a real thing to overcome. And it's not something I think that everybody just masters in a lifetime. You know, I think it takes some real work. You know, but that's one of the reasons why we've got these churches that don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because really what they're doing a lot of times is they're motivating the flesh. They're moving out of emotion. They're bringing up specific subjects that minister to the emotion of man instead of the spirit of a man. And Jesus said that His words were spirit and they were life. And so we're in a place where, in a season where we're coming up on the return of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've been feeling this or sensing this, but sometimes I get out there and I feel like there's a force trying to make it feel like He's not really returning soon. Like we're watching a movie of all these events starting to occur and we've become just kind of like dull. I'm not saying you. I'm saying this is kind of what I'm observing in the spirit. I mean, it's really true. In the scripture, it says that, you know, in the days of Noah, they were, you know, getting married and taking care of life, but they were completely oblivious of what is to come. But I really sense that in my spirit. And those of us that aren't oblivious to it, there must be something that God might be doing through you in your ministries that are almost like a Noah's ministry, where you're building something, you know, to save your family or to save the earth. So it's just something that I see happening more and more the more I get out there. But anyway, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Revelation 22:12, it says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." Now, one of the things that, you know, one of the things I was talking to a pastor today, and you brought up the vision of the church, and I got a kind of a explanation of the vision of the church. And I had to say to this pastor, I said, you know, the vision of the church should be, you should be, you know, training your people or raising up people or training them for the return of Jesus. If we're not preparing ourselves for the return of Jesus, and we're not preparing the church for it, what are we doing? Am I wrong? If I don't hear that out of a leader of a group of people, it concerns me, considering the season that we're in. You don't have to be prophetic to know that he's returning soon. You can have your own eschatology of how you think things are going to work out. But I know that one thing, that if we don't have the attitude the scripture tells us to have about his return, then we won't have that urgency in us, and we won't also not even have that anointing within us to not just prepare ourselves, but to also prepare the others that we minister to. And that's why I think it's very important. So he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look that up real quick. I saw something in here today. It says, "I have," verse 7, "I have fought the good and honorable fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and recompense me on that day, not only me, but all those who have loved and yearned for and welcomed his appearing." They yearned. That's a select group. I mean, some select groups are problems, but I mean, there's a select group that are yearning for his return. And that select group is going to get a crown of righteousness. Now, you know, you think about, well, the Lord's, you know, no respecter of person, and, you know, but he doesn't, you know, you look at the talents, and somebody had this amount of talent, or this amount of money, that money, and what they did, and so forth, and God addressed and said, well done, good and faithful service. Here you're over 10 cities. You know, he went through that parable. So just, you know, it's true that God does reward, but there are rewards, crown of righteousness, that are dealt out to those who yearn for his return. And I didn't realize there's a lot in the scripture about people who are looking for his return and hastening his return and knowing how to do that. So I want to give you some scripture tonight about that. And but I like this verse here. It says, "All those who have loved and yearned for and welcome his appearing." There's four things I wrote down here real quickly that are going to happen when he appears. The first thing, the appearing of his glory will transform our bodies. So we get new bodies. Hallelujah. Amen.
Don't worry about honey.
New body. Yeah, no more honey buns in that body. They don't have any of those in heaven. They have the real thing. But our bodies are, the appearing of his glory transforms our bodies. the final consummation of the Lord with his bride, that an eternal union. The return of Jesus is the only hope for the suffering humanity. Only at the appearing and transformation of the body of Christ will creation be released from the corruption of the fall of man. So those are things that, you know, that talks about yearning for the return of the Lord, you know, and I mean, if nothing else, you know, on a personal level, hey, I am tired of this body. You know, I mean, I really am. I'm tired of its cravings and, you know, wants chocolate and wants cookies. You know, I'm saying, you know, there's a yearning that should be in us in a natural way of understanding that we are yearning for his return. We want his return. You know, that and the Apostle Paul, he knew a lot about that. You know, he wanted to be there, but he knew it was better to be here. You know, and he says, why do I do the things I don't want to do in Romans? I mean, he was struggling just like you and I do with knowing the truth and allowing that to be played out in the fullness of Jesus that is within us, that we have the mind of Christ, and how the Holy Spirit, we know he is on us. We know that we're holy, made by his righteousness by the shed blood, but we want more. I mean, I want more of him. I want him to flood this body. So this is your cry. I'm just echoing what you're already praying. And he answers those prayers. So you become this individual that's yearning and wanting more, wanting his return, wanting to see the suffering that's going on. The very creation is held in captive. All these things is something that we need to have in the forefront of our minds, so that we have this attitude and we have this sensitivity about wanting him to return, so it becomes so alive in us that it produces something. And it produces the very thing that we're seeking, and that's to be conformed into his image. And so he has a lot to say about that in the scripture. So if we long for the return of the Lord, how do we apply it? How do we apply that? You know, it's like, how do I do it? Well, you know, one is in personal holiness. If you turn into Titus, that's the next page over from 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has come forward for the deliverance from sin and eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness and worldly desires, to live discreet, upright, devout lives in this present world, awaiting and looking for the blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So one of the ways that we can apply or to yearn the Lord or to live that kind of a life is in personal holiness. And personal holiness is something that you've walked through for a period of time. You probably don't do the things maybe you did when you're a teenager. You know, or maybe you do still. I don't know. I'm not here to pick on your lives. I got my own problems, okay? But the point is, let's face it, your mind is different than it was before. I mean, just the fact that God commands us to love one another, that one command that hits me in the face all the time that I've had to walk out over a period of years. So I just don't know any other way to deal with people except to love them. I didn't start out there. But I know one thing. I know that if I don't love people with the love of the Lord, it's lethal. It's like nerve gas. And I know that. I know that I know that I know that. And I see so many people struggling in that area. But when you yearn for his return and your mind is on his return, the love that you have for people can be totally released, because his very return is an act of love, just as it was when he first came. And so getting caught up into that, plus the fact that if he's coming tonight or whatever, I better start loving my neighbor, you know? If nothing else, you know, I mean, God doesn't have a baseball bat in heaven, but let's face it, I'm afraid of him. I mean, I respect him. He's a deep awe, but I'm afraid of the Lord in terms of he's so powerful. You know, I mean, I'm in awe of him. So personal holiness is important. 1 Thessalonians, Yes.
It was about love?
Yes.
Love, it was 1 Thessalonians 2
Thessalonians. 3:13, so that he may strengthen, confirm, and establish your hearts faultlessly pure and unblameless, holy in the sight of our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. That's what I wanted. And may the Lord make you to increase and excel, overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may strengthen and confirm and establish your hearts faultlessly pure, unblameable, and holiness in the sight of our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that speaks of our loving one another, as I just was bringing out. Has anybody had a really hard time loving people? I mean, did you get, have to, was it something that was really you struggled with? Just have one. Have two. Let me ask those. Is anybody, what attitude is there? How'd you overcome that?
I began. The Lord showed me that I was, because I'm just wired. Sharon knows me. So I'm just wired. I'm wired a different way. And the Lord had to actually show me why people are the way they are, instead of getting frustrated with my cousin who's still an addict, blah, 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 blah. You know, I tried to help her, it didn't work. And, like, you know, but just the wounding that she felt as a baby and the rejection and then her home situation. And it helped me see things in a different light. And I'm not as hard as I used to be. So, and actually someone told me, well, you're just too soft. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. But it's just the Lord had to show me why they are the way they are. And that helped me a lot. So I am significantly less growly with people.
Mm-hmm. What about Brother Lewis over there? You had your hand raised here. How did you overcome that?
I scratched my head. I had to remind myself that they're God's precious creation. People I've mentored, my wife and I, Susan Templeton, always used to tell us that. There goes God's precious creation, no matter what they look like, no matter their attitude or whatever. And so the great price has been, and I have to remind myself of that, that they are extremely valuable to God. And if they're valuable, then they got to be valuable.
And so it's two areas. One is extremely valuable. Another one is that God was showing you, you know, why they are the way they are. And that happened to me, you know, over a period of time. I think anybody else walk through that?
I'll tell you what he did for me. Earlier this year, I went through a period of a couple months where when I would look at someone, I would see them, I don't care what age they were, I would see them as a child of like 3 or 4. Instantly, they could be bald, but I would see them as a 3 or 4 year old child, just beautiful and innocent. And they could be the homeless, they could be whatever. But I did not see them as they were. I saw them as a child, and it was just, and it was like, I kept telling my girlfriend, Lisa, you're not gonna believe this. I mean, when I look at people, I don't see them as they are now. I see them as a child, and it was just a gift. Now, it's lifted, but it changed, you know, and it really has helped me to be able to love them. You know?
I've had two, when people are really difficult, I had a boss once who was so mean. And the other girl who wasn't a Christian, she was always really jolly, and I thought, well, I gotta be nice because I'm supposed to be a Christian. You know what I mean? But you got a bad attitude, you know. And then I started, because I was like, God, I need to be a better witness. And then I started praying, and I just saw him. I didn't know if he was the bully or being bullied. I just kind of saw his mom with the cigarette in her. I just saw different things. And then God just changed everything. And when that changed in me, he changed.
Mm-hmm.
When it changed in me, he changed.
Mm.
Even though you're not... You know, and the people aren't going to, but something, when we change in us, and we have that love, you know, it, and it's, when we understand too, I mean, I have a gift of mercy, but my mercy runs out.
That's when that attitude comes in.
My mercy runs out, you got to take that.
But, you know, his mercies are new every morning. And it says, this is my commandment that you love each other. It's not whether you have a gift or not. It's not. You understand what I'm saying? It's not. Some of us have a greater gift of mercy, but it's he commands us to love, no matter what.
That's right.
And but like you were saying, Terry, when you start seeing, when God gives you a vision of somebody as a little child or something, it changes everything.
It did. It's just like
when
he
you
was
ask him.
You have no, it's amazing to me because the mind of Christ will, like, you know, commands us to love one another, and then the mind expect, okay, well, I know how I love, how do you love?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he loves, it says the scripture says in Ephesians that we have a love beyond knowledge. So I thought about meditating on that for a while. I said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense to me because I have knowledge of this person as an X, Y, and Z. You know, or he's done this or done that, and that God loves beyond the knowledge of those incidents or whatever. But also, you said something I think also was interesting, but, you know, when I changed, they changed.
Yeah.
And
that happens for real.
Yeah, I've seen that happen before. I thought that was really cool, you know. But I think that this is really important because, you know, to bring his coming or to, you know, to act upon the fact that there are rewards involved and how do we apply those things. And one of the applications is love, because if you're going to move in the power and the gifts of the Spirit and in these last days of the outpouring, that is just something that's got to be available inside of you. You've got to practice it. And so there are people out there that are difficult maybe to love or whatever. How do you pierce that darkness, you know? Or maybe you're not around anybody that's hard to love, you know. Maybe you just have that life where you just got nice people around you all the time, you know. But all you guys have to do is go to some public event or a grocery store or whatever, and you'll find them. They're waiting for you, you know. But I just found that, like, when the anointing comes on me outside of these walls, and sometimes it's just on, you know, and it's on because I teach you guys, I said, practice the presence of God, so I can't actually leave here and not do that. I'm not talking just to talk, I have to walk it out. And so, it, you know, it's like when the anointing comes, and it seems like sometimes it's stronger than others, and maybe it's just because of how I'm feeling that day, but I notice one thing, that when it's overwhelming, the love that I have, it just, it kind of shines out on people where I feel like I can talk to them, or I can, you know, I come up to them, or I talk to somebody like I've known my whole entire life. You know, it just kind of, it presents itself in a way that makes it easy to reach out to people, you know? And so I just know that love is just a real key to the power of the Lord. It's, to me, I know that people can move in the gifts of the Spirit and not have love, or maybe they're not, don't have a lot of fruit. But to me, what I've seen, a lot of people that are moving gifts of the Spirit around here, I've seen the love and the fruit, and I've seen the whole thing. And it means more. It's much more authentic if you have all of that going on, because, you know, a person gets up here and commands this, and there's nothing personal involved. But to me, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so intimate. Their intimacy is just... that's how, to me, how it functions in my spirit, at least, is that he'll point someone out, but it's always in love. It's always love that reaches out, and it's intimate. It goes into the intimate parts of their life, and that's where the detail of the prophetic or of the gifts of Spirit go to another level, is when you start to understand that about the Holy Spirit and how, and you know, I use the word tag into it, but it's kind of like that, where you tag into that, and that's where it gets into some real intimacy that only God knows about that person. I mean, it's more than just a word of knowledge of something, it's a word of knowledge that God experienced, that person experienced with God. And God it puts a stamp on it, you know? And so it's really important that love becomes one of these things that and I really appreciate you guys sharing what you had to say, because love to me, that's why Jesus commanded us to do it. I know he's very concerned about it. I know he's very concerned about it for his body. I've even heard testimonies of people that have gone to heaven and come back, and he said that to them, that he was concerned about their love walk. That was the most thing he was concerned about. So that is one thing that I think that has to be in us when we think about the return of the Lord. You know, how the return of Jesus is, first was an act of love, the second one is an act of love too, and where he, you know, saves humanity, saves creation. So anyway, let's read on here. I think I can find this next scripture in 2 Peter, verse 3:11-14. Since all these things, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, then the heavens will vanish with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and all the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be? In consecrated and holy behavior, in devout and godly qualities. We kind of just touched on that about holiness. While you wait earnestly and long for, expect and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare up and melt with fire. But we look for a new heavens and a new earth according to his promise, in which righteousness is to abide. Now, what's interesting to me, and I've thought about this, in Matthew 24, and you guys probably are very familiar with this scripture, is it, you know, since it talks about the hastening, how do we hasten? What is the sign that Jesus talked about that would bring his return? What is the sign? It goes through there and it says, you know, beginning in verse 24, it talks about the wars, the rumors of war, nation rise against nation, talks about deception. It goes through all this stuff. And then verse 14, because Jesus starts it out, what will be the, you know, they're asking, what's going to be the sign? What is going to be the evidence that you're returning? What's going to be the sign? So he goes all through stuff. In verse 14, he sums it all up. He says, and the good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. This is what hastens his return. It's the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
And so that's what's inside of you, and you need to study that out of what the gospel of the kingdom is and take every opportunity you have to preach it, because that is what hastens his coming. That's what brings him back quicker. It's the bride who's put on the fine linen, dressed in readiness, which is the righteous acts of the saints. You know, every time you do a righteous act, it's like a thread. Think of it like that. Every righteous act you do is like a you're making that bridal dress, you know, and you got to have more than bikini, right? So you got to do some more righteousness, you know what I'm saying? I mean, doesn't it talk about some that are naked, that aren't clothed? Then how did you get in here? You're not clothed. That scripture? You know that scripture I'm talking about? You got it? Anybody can quote it here? No? I'm the only one that can't? Was it Jesus, a parable where he said, how did you get in here and you weren't clothed? Anyway, but every righteous act is clothing. Every righteous act you did is like a thread. And think of it like that. And you have a choice. You know, you can get up in the morning, you go through your day, and you have opportunities to do righteous things to some kind deed or whatever it might be. You know? And it's just, I didn't think of it that way, but it's really true. But that to me is the thing that hastens his coming. And then the last scripture I'm going to share is in 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are now children of God. It is not yet disclosed what we shall be, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall resemble and be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope or everyone who is fixed on him cleanses and purifies himself just as he is pure. So having the return, yearning for the Lord's return, and having that in the forefront of our minds and our hearts, it says here that it purifies ourselves, it cleanses us, it creates a purity within us. But you know, verse 3 is the key. That it says fixed. You know, having a fixed mind. Now, we all know about what it's like to be obsessed with something. You know, I mean, have you ever obsessed over anything? Nobody here is ever obsessed or anything. You know? Yeah. Such a amen. Such a loud crowd here tonight. But yeah, you know, we have. You've obsessed over stuff, have you not? I mean, to have your mind fixed on His return, I would submit to you, is something that the Holy Spirit is saying to the body of Christ today. You know, be fixed on it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Try it for a week. Try it for a month. Try it for a year. Why not? I don't want to get my mind off of it. And so the very thinking that His return is upon us does a purifying work within us. And I think that that's very important. Some people that are really trying to, maybe you're trying to get out of a situation right now. You know, maybe you're just in a place of confusion. But God can bring everything back into line, can bring everything back into order when we fix our mind on the right thing. And, you know, it's been coming to me like this recently because, you know, the problems and the things that we have to solve and find solutions, if our mind is fixed on His return, all of those things that we're dealing with, the solutions are right there. Because we're now in the flow of what God is going to do. I mean, Noah was building that ark because the flood was coming. He was fixed on an event that was about to take place that there was no evidence of. And I really think that we are getting to that point where we have to become mature enough to where that has got to be real. I'm so glad that there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I cannot imagine how it would be without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine how would anybody ever really truly believe. I mean, Jesus even said Himself, He says, without signs and wonders, they simply will not believe. You know, and we need to have that. And so it doesn't really matter. I mean, I know there's a lot of churches don't believe in it, and I know there's a lot that do believe in Him, actually, but they don't really do it, you know? They're kind of the ceiling's right about here, you know, and I just don't understand it, but that's just the way that it is. But that's not who you are per se. You may go to church, fine, go to the churches. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But you're a light in the midst of it, and maybe God will move through you in healing in that place or whatever it might be. You know, maybe you're just sitting there praying. Maybe God might give you a word for the pastor. I was so thankful I was able to sit down with a pastor today and just tell him the truth. And it was amazing to me that God had already got to him before I did. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but the thing about it is, and this is so true, is that, you know, they don't know how to do it because the way things are set up, it takes the whole counsel of God. It doesn't take, you can't just have one revelation. It takes the whole counsel of God. That's why the Lord laid it out that way. That's why I have such a passion to see different ministries come. I've got, you know, an ex came here. I don't know how everybody was exposed to ex, but the anointing was so strong on him, he had not experienced that before. I mean, he travels all over the world. But the reason why he experienced before is because God is doing something here that is unique in the sense of maybe it hasn't been in this area before. I don't know. And there's nothing really new under the sun. But the point is that, you know, here I got a guy that wants to commit to come on a monthly basis now because of just that, because he knows that God is doing something here, you know? And I'm excited because I know that a lot of you guys are just very seasoned. You could probably preach circles around me. It's intimidating to come into a room where you have people that are so spiritual like you guys are. so holy. You know, when I first came to the Spirit-filled church and everybody said that they heard from God, I thought, oh my God, these people are just so holy. Gosh, I don't even know if I can come in there. You know, this is so true. I was in another planet, man. I first moved down here and I got in my first Spirit-filled church and everybody heard from God, and it was Jim Seaman's place, and they met in this, I don't know what it was, like a mobile home. It was, I don't know what it was. It was put together with, I was just, have you ever been in that place? Trinity Tabernacle was off the middle of the road. But I thought, well, this is a place because not too many people know about this. And, you know, everybody hears from God. And, you know, but you do hear from the Lord. You hear from the Lord, by the way. You really do. You know? And he has a way of confirming it to you as well. But you really do hear from the Lord. And you know, it's almost like I see you praying for this one situation and you will not let God alone. You know, it's like you got person knocks on the bread, you know, the bread over and over and over again. But out of the persistence of the person knocking on the bread, the owner of the house opens up the door, gives a piece of bread. And it wasn't even for that person. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to tell you that, you know, that you're going to get it. It's going to it's going to happen. Your prayers are reaching the Lord. They've been reaching the Lord, okay? And it's not that he's irritated. I don't get that. But I'm just the fact that you just know that you are hearing from the Lord. You see some things. It's like you see trouble on down the road. And God uses you that way. You're like trying to prevent something from happening. Okay, but that the reason why you have that within you is because God is calling you to intercession to so that the situation is avoided, you know. God shuts a door, nobody can open it up anyway. And any door that he opens up, you know, nobody can shut it. So just know that his hand, when his hand moves, he may just shut a door where he just stops that whole situation right in its tracks. So it can never even get to where you might see where it might go. But I just think your ministry is like that a lot, where God uses you among people that are going the wrong direction. And a lot of these people, you see yourself in them. And you understand, you know? And so God has trained you that way. But you're being gifted. Tonight, I don't know what it is, the Holy Spirit, but he's gifting you tonight. He's giving you some insight, but he's also gifting you to where when you pray, the Holy Spirit prays through you, the perfect prayer, obviously, but he's gifting you to be able to step out and to be able to speak into the situation. Because like Lewis was saying about the warfare, we are in a warfare, but you know, sometimes God, tell me what to pray, or tell me what scripture to use. You see, that's seeking the Lord. I mean, obviously God can do it. I mean, he could have put the Israelites right over into the promised land by his power, you know? But they wouldn't have learned warfare. And obviously God wants to has been teaching you about warfare. And so I really feel because you position yourself, I want to learn, I want this. You see what I'm saying? God has cultivated inside of you a desire and a yearning to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because that's inside of you, it resonates. And then meetings like this, you can just be sitting in there and all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit will pop something in you. We don't even know about it. But you walk out here and you can do it. So I just want to encourage you. I just really see that really strongly in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But, you know, and Charles, just know this, that, you know, and when people say Godspeed, you ever hear that? Godspeed, okay? Godspeed to you, Charles. The speed of God, you just think about how fast he is. I mean, he's faster than light. You know, we have the speed of light, but he's faster than light. We know that he is light, okay? But there's an acceleration that God is sowing into your spirit, and he's sowing into events that are around you that are going to excel. They're not going to be stagnant anymore. It's like God is now getting in the waters, and he's going to stir it all up, you know? And there's a frustration within you that's a spiritual frustration. And it's not over you. It's over things that you encounter. You know, you encounter something, you don't have to be personally even engaged in it. It doesn't even have to be that. It's just there's a frustration, but it's a spiritual frustration. It's the same frustration that Jesus had when he went to the temple and saw him turning, you know, making money and all things they were doing. I mean, he got angry about it, okay? But, you know, think about how he was really frustrated with Israel over years, okay? And there's a godly frustration in you that is pinpointing problems where you're going to reach right to the root of them. And you're not going to be afraid to do it because you don't want to fool around. You know, I just hear that. I ain't fooling around anymore. I just hear that in the spirit, you know, where you just really want to go and you want to do not just what God tells you to do, but you want to see the results. You know what I mean? And so I just really feel like there's an acceleration in the preparation of your spirit to be sent as a battering ram into places where you're going to release the word and it's going to come to pass and it's going to happen because of the times that we're in. So just know this, that the seed that you're now carrying has an ability to accelerate in it. You know, have you ever seen that? You know, they'll sit there and clear something out on the highway and they spray it with this grass and it comes up so quick. And here I am trying to grow grass in a shaded part of my backyard. I'll get some of that, throw it out there. And that doesn't do anything. Yeah. You know, but what are they doing? What kind of grass they got? It's something that will take root and grow quickly. And that's exactly what God is doing with the word that he's put into your heart. So just know this. You can have expectation, okay? Because you know what it is like to deliver something and you know that person heard it and ain't going to do nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? They kind of blow you off like, oh, yeah, whatever he said. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be like that. You're going to be used directly, get right to the heart of the matter, and the seed's going to go out and it's going to burst forth with speed. I just see speed over your life. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Stephanie, you're so talented. You know, I've sitting here and looking at you. It's been over a year now, and you came to the first meeting just to support. You know, you weren't intended to stick. That's what you told me anyway. But you're so multi-gifted. You know, you move prophetically when you want to. You know, and I see prayers. I see prayer coming out of you in the arena of intercession. But God is going to be exposing you to more people. I mean, you know this. I mean, there's a sweetness. It's like, you know how a bees, they aren't going to go to the ugly flower. The flower that's not, you know what I'm saying? The flower that doesn't have anything in it. You know, they're not attracted to that. They're attracted to the one that, you know, has the goods in it. You know what I mean? The beautiful bud. You know what I'm saying? And God has made your ministry like that. And people are going to be attracted to you this year more than ever. You're going to know this is to be true because this is a word that has been released within your heart, and you may be aware of it, okay? But it is going to be like, you're going to be like honey. I mean, bees or people are going to be attracted to you, okay? And through your sweetness of the Spirit of God that's inside you, you're going to release the love of the Lord, and healing power is going to come through you, and you're in a demonstration of his goodness and a demonstration of his love is going to be released through your ministry in this next year. Amen. It is going to be overwhelming. I want to tell you something, because you have passed the test. He knows what you want, okay? He's promised that to you, okay? But right now, you got a job to do, and you will complete that job, because that is what accelerates this whole press. He's coming back soon. But the evidence of his return is going to be seen in you by a lot of people. They're going to know this is something different. You know, I've known her, but this something is different. There's a deeper walk that you're doing with the Lord that you never, ever knew you had in you, and yet you have found it. And you have found that spring that springs up in eternal life and is charging you. It is strengthening you. You even look, you say, how in the world am I able to do this? Because I didn't think that I could. But you are, through his strength. And you know, it's like the guy that his mind is gone. He was told he had Alzheimer's or whatever, but yet he's clear as a bell because he's learned to move out of the mind of Christ, not the mind of man. And there is a shifting going on in the spirit right now with all of God's children. If they're learning to really, truly walk in the spirit. Yeah, they're in a fleshly body, but the spirit of God has become so saturated with them, they become so flooded with his spirit that they're able to separate it, just like the word of God says. He separates and divides, and you're moving in the spirit. You're learning to move in the spirit in a greater dimension. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Ralph, you know, we're in a much better economy now, but it's going to get even busier for you. It's not going to slow down. But in saying that, okay, I feel that there's some kind of streamlining going on where God is going to give you some kind of a revelation with the business that will help the load. And don't be hesitant about it. You pretty much got a clear eye on it, but just know this, that is His will. And the reason why the blessing is going to come, because you're a man that gives. Not only do you give of your substance, you give of your time, and the pastor that's inside of you. It's like you've got a really unique anointing, because you're very pastoral, but you're very prophetic. You know how you do them both, I have no idea. But there's some shepherding that needs to take place, and God's going to use you as a shepherd, and many, many times. And there are two opposing sides, and there's clashing. There's a potential of a clash, and God's going to use you as a peacemaker, okay, to bring understanding to these two opposing forces that are really on the same side, but they're heading for a clash. But God is going to use you to bring about a healing and an understanding where that does not take place. And the reason being, because it says in the scripture, doesn't it, said God is, it's a blessing when you see the unity of the brethren come together. I'm sure I'm tearing up the, not quoting it correctly, but that's how I see God using you in this next season, okay? So the shepherd's going to come out, okay? There's still going to be travel in your ministry, though. It's not stopped, but it's going to be very specific. Because the thing about it is, Patty, the strength to go places comes from the Lord. So you may not feel like you want to go. Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to go that far. I'll go there, but I'm not that far. And just all of a sudden, when God says go, you'll go, and He'll strengthen you to do it. And it won't be a waste of your time. Because God, you do not want to waste your time. Your time is precious to you. And God respects that. It's like I see that you're so strategically used. It's cool. Because God's going to shoot you there, and you're going to go, and you'll shoot it, and then you'll go right back to where you were, get right back in the Word. But I see the Lord just really quickening your Word. It's kind of like what I talked about Him. There's an acceleration. The words that come out of your mouth are going to come to pass quickly. It's not going to be years. It's going to be months, or it's going to be a week, or it's going to be the next day. And it's going to come back to you. And when it comes back to you, you're going to say, yeah, thank you, Lord, for doing that. But the encouragement that will come from that will take you to a new level in your prophetic. Because let's face it, the confidence of God and the confidence of man are two different things. In the confidence of God, God says, I desire to put my confidence inside of you and explode you. Because He wants you to be sure. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be bold. He wants you to step out when you don't want to step out. And this stuff, it's like the first time I've ever given a message in tongues. I was sitting there and God told me to speak in tongues. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that, you know. And I didn't do it. So I just sat there and I was like, heart started getting really, and I knew I was going to say it. And then Jim Siemens said, look, I don't know who out there is supposed to speak in tongues, but would you please do it so I get this service over? Thank God for that. And that's what I did. And thank God I don't think he had interpretation. Somebody else did or something like that. But the thing is that there's a, not that you're hesitant, but I want to tell you, there's a boldness that God wants to move through you. And you're going to, if you don't step out when he says go, you're going to know. You know what I'm saying? And then go ahead and step on it. And you probably won't do it again. But I'm just telling you, be encouraged, because it doesn't matter if they receive it or not. You know, and you've had to talk some tough stuff to people these are seasoned men of God that God's sending you to. He's not going to send you to women. He's going to send you to the men. He's going to send you to the men. The very people that you don't want to go to, that's who you're going to be sent to. And you know what? They're going to thank God and get on their knees that you were obedient and you said that to them. And you're going to have circumstances where they're going to say, that's not God, and then turn around and the next day I'll call you up and say, you know what? You were right on the money. You're right on the money. Because your ministry is such a way to stop the current of the enemy. I mean, literally, God has made you like a weapon to stop him right in the tracks. And the discernment that God moves through you is so needed. You know, and you know how it functions in her. I mean, you know, she'll sit there and you'll see, oh, that person looks real good. And she goes, and Ralph, let's just break this down. Do you know what I'm saying? I got one of those too. And it's great because, you know, that's just a balance. Amen. God is so good. Amen. You know, you sing really well, by the way. Yeah, Robert, you sing very well. I was sitting next to you and I heard you singing, and yeah, you really, he sings well. He really does. You know, you had talent sitting next to you.
See? Yeah, they normally tell me to sing a tenor, you know, like 10 or 12 blocks from here.
Yeah. Well, you guys, your ministry's really blossomed in the past year and a half, and it's just going to grow.
I got two Muslims today telling me thank God, and yeah, I mean, that's something, you know, instead of Allah, so you're doing good.
Well, see, you're out there on the cutting edge of where the Spirit of God's going to move. So I just would encourage you guys. It's going to be a great year for you guys. You're going to see a great harvest come in. And just, you know, Lord, I just, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to impart to them, Lord, what they need. The only way I can explain it is like this. It's like you're cutting down wood and you got to move it, but you got a little truck like Lewis is driving out there, but you need a big one. So just believe, I'm believing that God's going to give you guys the tools that you need. You know, and the thing about that's where your passion is. Just see, look how Lord has reversed this whole thing, where your passions are in your life. You look 20 years ago and you look now where it's at. You guys have come a long, long way. And God has not just changed you guys internally, but He's changed your whole attitude on where you're really going. Mm-hmm. And just know that success in the Lord is not the success that's in this earth. Mm-hmm. And you're extremely successful.
Thank you, Lord.
No? You're extremely successful. You have no idea how God has really conformed you guys. Now, you know, you think, well, I got a long way to go or whatever, but I want to tell you that when you get right down to it, okay, you guys will step out and you'll reach out to help people. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't always the way it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's how much God has changed your hearts. But I just really see an increase and an anointing in your lives this year. Just like I said, if you need a big truck, you're going to get a big truck. You need this, it's going to be there. Because as long as you stay in the line that you are, God is going to provide. Because He provides for His ministry. When Jesus came to the earth, He got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know what you do with the other stuff. I know what you do with gold. Amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, let me give you a word of encouragement, too. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You know, I keep hearing that word where, you know, when somebody is a good teacher, they repeat something over and over again. And just know this, you're repeating yourself, but it's a good thing that you're repeating yourself because people don't necessarily get it the first time around. You have to sit there and pound and pound and pound and find it goes deep down inside of them, okay? So don't be moved by the fact that this individual is not listening, okay? Just keep in there, just keep pounding, and it's going to break through and it's going to get down inside, okay? Because you're going to be amazed. But it's in God's hands and He will change. He's the only one who can change a person anyway. He will do it. It's an inside job. But let me tell you this, they're going to run into a wall, okay? And you're going to be there to help and to hold and to cuddle, and you know what I'm saying? You know how when somebody hits a wall, and then they become teachable, okay? So just know that event is going to occur. You will be there, and you'll do the right thing, but you won't say, I told you so, okay? That's my only word of wisdom, okay? Do not say, I told you so, because you know, the thing about it is, you see things, okay, like that, okay? And that's a good thing, okay, because this is going to carry over into your ministry, into another arena. But for right now, just be satisfied with the fact that you have the inside information, and now you've got the outcome. Do you see what I'm saying? And to know this, it's okay to be repetitive. A good teacher repeats. And somebody that cares repeats. It could be your children. It could be anybody else. You never know. It could be that man you married. I don't know. Probably not.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Is it okay if I'm almost done? I got pretty much. Well, I was gonna have something for Julia, but she's not here tonight. So it's just that's the second time I've had something for her. The second time. It's just. But tell her I'll keep it. I'll hold it. I don't know what it is, but I'll hold it. Amen. God is so good. Doug, I'm not going to pick on you. I'd be repetitive if I say it again. Amen. God is so good. There's a, you know, I will say this. I really see, you have a son, right?
I do.
What's his name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan. I think that God's doing a work in Jonathan. You know what I'm saying? I think there's an opening up in his heart for transition. You know how you do something all your life and you get, and then all of a sudden, you know, get a little tired of it. But I see a transition taking place in his life. I don't know if it's a new career or whatever it is, but God's just going to open something up, you know, something he never thought about doing or ever did, and all of a sudden he's going to start to do it. But I really think the blessing of the Lord is going to come upon him and really overtake him. And, you know, the thing is, you know, he's got a real relationship with the Lord. I don't know how you perceive him per se, but I just can in my spirit. He's got a real good relationship with the Lord. And he really relies on him, you know. And but thing is, you know, sometimes when you get beat down or something happens, you look at yourself and you blame yourself, okay? I always see the Lord ministering to him and setting him free from that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like he's aware, it's like he's drinking out of his own reflection. You know, this isn't happening because da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? It's like self-blaming himself. But that's not why. He's going to be attacked regardless, okay? God is doing a work in his life. He's going to straighten some things out. But I just really see him in transition. I see God open up a door where he's just in transition. Amen. Amen. I don't know if it's a new place where he's going to live, maybe. I don't know. But maybe he's going to move in with you. I don't know. Well, you didn't say no about that. So
God's opening doors of ministry for him.
Say what?
God's opening doors of ministry for him.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
God, so good. Yeah, he's got a real good relationship. I just got to tell you, I kept hearing that relationship is just really sound. But anyway, I just keep everybody here so late, don't I? We used to be done like at 8 o'clock in an hour. Remember that?
Yeah.
Should I go back?
No.
No? Okay. JJ, you're such a breath of fresh air. Just bring the flowers to the meeting, don't you? You really do. You know what I'm saying? When you're at peace, you know, it just overflows. And you have found a place in God that very few people ever find. And I really see that, you know, I see you sharing with people how to get to peace. So everybody you're going to minister this next year will not be at peace. You will identify them so easily. Especially, the word cranky came up in my spirit, cranky people. You can start with him. No, cranky people, I mean, I really see you ministering to people just do not have peace. And these are Christians, you know? And man, I tell you what, this is a very, very needed ministry where you're being planted. It's a strong need. People just are not in peace because they've not found really the true Lord that's inside of them. They know about God and they know about church, but they don't know the peace of God. And you know how to get there. You found a way to get there and you had to overcome certain things to get there. And a lot of the things that they're experiencing are things that you've experienced too, but you've got something inside of you that's not just real and it's not just tangible God, it's through experience. You know, somebody just gives something out is one thing, but something that comes from the realm of experience is different because that word settles in you in a more concrete way. And when I have people talk to me and they got wisdom and they have experience behind it, it's different. And so I just want to encourage you in that because I just see your Lord really opening up a lot of doors to you, a lot of doors. It's almost like, you know, he's prepared you for this season, you know, through years, you know, and all of a sudden right now, it's like you're at the pinnacle of what God has been developing over a period of years, and now it's just going to get released. And people are going to really grow as a result of your words. Your words are just right to the heart of the matter. I know I've said this to you before, but your word just goes right straight to the heart of the matter. You're like the surgeon, you know, but those cranky people, man, so I'll call you up if I run into one. I'm serious. I told, I think it was Danny Stain, I said, you're going to go to the Foolish Virgins. He never got back to me on that. It's so true. He's going to go to the churches. And I heard of actually a testimony of somewhere he had gone recently. It was kind of like that. Amen. God is so good. I think I just have to go over everybody here. You're hard to minister to because you're just so sweet and you just look like you got it all together. So I think the best thing you can do is continue to intercede for all of us mortals. Now, I'm serious. I mean, really, you don't realize how far you're really developed. You know, when you come and you pray for people or you're just around, you just bring a smile. Just some so sincere. You know, real people are just really needed right now, I think, in ministry. Authentic. You know, when you pray for somebody, well, now that you said you learned how to love, you know, I mean, your prayers mean a lot more because you're not just laying hands because you're being obedient or you're on duty. You actually care. And I think that's really important, you know. But I just want to encourage you. I really believe that your family, that there's something that God is going to be doing in your family. And it's going to be restoration and healing and all the above. Because the thing is, circumstance, I think some of your family are facing, only God can solve. It's not going to be through human hands. Amen. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. And that word surprise just came before me. Yeah. So I guess you got a surprise coming. It's not more children, I'll say that. No, I can eliminate that, right? Our children. Now, Alicia, you have to realize that part of the reason we're here is because of you. God spoke to you to call me up and tell me about a house over there that never ever happened, but it happened here. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, God really used you very strategically. And all these ministers that are ministering over people and stuff like that are a direct result of one phone call. So, surprise. Okay, so just know this, that you're a catalyst. You know, that's God uses you as a catalyst to bring people together, to open up doors. But also, too, one other thing about your ministry that's really unique is that, you know, you have the gift of gab, as we call it, you know what I'm saying? But it's in a good way. You're able to strike up a conversation, you're able to share the Lord, that type of thing. But I see the Lord really tempering your words, where the words of knowledge are going to temper the words that come out of your mouth. And it's going to be more specific in nature. It's going to be the guiding light of when to share this or when not to share that. You know, sometimes, you know, I like to give all the revelation of something, but I've learned to hold it back. Feel, you know, the person out by the Spirit and what they can handle, what they can't, because some people can't handle certain things. Because you're going to be in ministry to people that you know, don't know much. You know, and you're coming, when you come to them, you're going to be able to give them just the right nugget, just the right word. Not too much, not too little. And I see the God really using you very, very specifically like that, so that you're more effective. You've even asked for this. I see in my spirit, you've asked for this because you want to be able to reach people and be effective. And you want to say, Lord, you know, I want to yield to how you say it. I know what I can do, but I want to know what you can do. And because you've asked him that, he's giving that to you tonight. You will walk out of here with that gift. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you. That's why I'm talking about the love and the intimacy. This word's coming out, how much love I have for you, all right? And God is intimately moving inside of you because he cares so much, because you have such a desire to see people saved, to see them restored, to see, you know, people that are hurting, not just hurting, but even organizations, educationally. You know, I don't know what you do, but I see you getting involved in situations where you're able to speak up, but it's different now. So you're not afraid to talk, and you're not afraid to step out there, and you don't really care what other people think, kind of. You know what I mean? But you want to be effective, and so that's why you've got before the Lord and asked for this. So I just want to encourage you. That was a good prayer. Amen. God is so good. Oh, I always overlook you, don't I? Because you ride home with me. He's usually giving me words all the way home, so. Lex is going to Italy. Is that right? So he's going to Italy, and he wants to talk to the Pope and straighten him out. So, however that's going to happen, it'll be fine. One of the things about you, Lex, that I do know of, and so I know naturally a lot of things about you, but one of the things that I see rising up within you is the scripture. And, you know, that's what God puts you in the book of Revelation. You were in that book. I don't know if you still are. Okay. So he's put you in that book for a reason. And he's jamming you full of scripture because you'll be able to quote it. Okay. And then you're going to use it just like a person would take a specific arrow. You know, there's a certain bows, I think, that go really long and some are short, and they have different types of arrows if you study the different arrows that were made and stuff like that. And that's how God's going to use the scripture coming out of you like a weapon. And, you know, when God releases an arrow or something like that, it'll hit the target, but you don't have to be responsible for it. You just deliver it and let God do it. So you don't have to add to it. Just out like that. You know, it's like somebody walking up to somebody and they just say two words and walk away from them. You know, I was eating breakfast with Henry Clare the other day and got up, and there's this guy, business guy, who's on the phone, just got off his phone, and you could tell he was wrapped up in business. And so I just came up to him and said a couple things. Hey, just know this, you know, just because that door shut on you doesn't mean another one's not going to open up, but it's okay, that door shut. You want that door to shut. And he's just looking like this, and I just walked away. You know, it's like that. You have something you're going to just shoot out there. You don't have to elaborate on it, you know. And they might not even speak English. Does it really matter?
No.
You know? Amen? So I just want to encourage you. You are supposed to go to Italy.
Yes.
Okay, I know you've questioned that. I really believe that in my spirit, okay?
That's awesome.
And everything that you need will be supplied. Amen? God is so good. God is so good. Hey, Lewis, I didn't do anything for you, did I? Okay, I'll give one to Lewis, and then we'll stop. I know you got so many prophets in here. Y'all can prophesy and minister to Lewis, probably. We all can gang up on you. Amen. God is so good. You know, the things that have come out of you have been surprising to me, because they have greater meaning than just on a local level. You know, it says, you know, God calls us to the nations. And I really see you being called to the nations. And I think that, I don't know if you have a passport, but you probably need to get one, or maybe you do, you need to be updated or whatever, but I really do see you called to the nations. I see missions that you're going to go on. God is going to give you such a tremendous provision that gives you the ability to be able to do things that you couldn't do before, you know, but you've wanted to do. But the thing about it is, it's not like you're on hold, okay, because you're not really on hold, but I think that when the opportunity arises and everything gets set up, I see you just getting right into the groove. And it's nothing that you have to even work up. You know, you already know the word, you studied the word, but the rhema word is going to be what's going to be on the forefront of your ministry. You know, I'm stumbling around looking at notes tonight, stuff like that, but the notes are already being made right now within your spirit. The subject that God keeps pointing you to, and you're looking at, and you're studying, it's going deep within your spirit to be brought out again. And the thing about it is, because God has illuminated your mind, you have the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ is operating within you in a way that you're not even aware of right now. It's storing. It's almost like a computer, in the sense that, you know, you put a file there and you click on it and it comes right up and it's right before you. That's how you're going to move in the realm of the spirit. You're going to be able to pick up right where that word came off, and you're going to be able to reach it, and you're going to be able to preach it. You don't even need a Bible. That's how detailed the Holy Spirit is imprinting on your spirit these words. And you're going to be tested in this arena this year. And I'm smiling because I see it. That's a good thing, or I'm not frowning, but I'm just saying I see it so clearly, and that's where the Holy Spirit puts you in situations where you have to do that. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, it's like tonight, I called you to come up. I'll probably do that a lot more now that I know this, but that's how it is. And you're going to come up and you're going to share because but what God downloaded you into the day before is to be released right now. And you're going to find that this is this one thing, this one area is going to start to accelerate is these little mini teachings, I call them, or mini nuggets, are going to be out there in your where you are, where you go. I don't think out to eat or whatever. These nuggets are just going to come out and they're going to just be like short little nugget lessons that are going to be right imparted into people's lives. And there's a boldness that God's going to develop in you that you've had, but it's going to be beyond what you've ever had before. And it's like the doors have just opened up in your ministry this year. There's a harvest. It's a harvest because what you don't know what you sowed into. You know, it's kind of like somebody they bought Apple years ago, Apple stock or whatever, and then you know people didn't think it would go anywhere, and now they invest in something that just went so far. You've invested in something. And I don't know what it is that God has shown you, but you invest in, so I'm not talking monetarily, you've invested in something in the Spirit that you're going to reap a great harvest. A great harvest.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's so good. Amen. Good. Well, I think that we're, I think I'm at the end of whatever I was doing, but does anybody else have anything or?
I have this sense that we're supposed to surround you and pray for you.
Okay.
And it's almost like I'm seeing that as we surround you, these angels are forming.
My big brother.
Are surrounding you?
Jesus, great.
Oh, Lord, you're so good.
Lord, what's on his heart and soul, his body, his mind, when people know them in the areas he needs it. Thank you for strengthening him with all might according to your glorious power. I thank you that his resurrection power is going to well up in him like in avenues that he's never seen before and experienced as he gets his mind renewed and bringing him to a different level that he never dreamed he could walk in. I've seen him for 35 years, God, and I've watched him grow. And I thank you for George, my big brother.
Thank you. Father, we just pray that you would cause Todd's word and his coming here to permeate hardened hearts, Lord. Those that have been unreachable, unteachable, unknowing of what they were missing, Father, that they would just cause that you would just cause his words to be a sweet aroma, that they would just wake up and hear the word of God before it's too late, Father. That lives would be changed and hearts would be turned and families would be restored and kingdom principles would be established in home where they have been far, far away from.
You were talking about spiritual warfare, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on tongues. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on tongues.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Give Todd the more. Give him more anointing, more.
Amen.
More of whatever you have for him. Just give him the more.
Yes,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just thank you for Todd. I thank you for his willingness, Lord, to come and teach us, and for all the seeds that he's planting, Lord. I just ask that you would continue to encourage him, Lord. And I feel that sometimes he thinks that we can all do and prophesy as he does, but Father, you have gifted him in such a great way, Lord. Such a great way.
Thank you, Lord.
Just just ask that you bless him. You bless him, Lord. Mm-hmm. Ask that you pour into him and increase your love, and increase your love.
Yes.
Goodness and kindness.
Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're providing new steps. You're ordering his steps.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that you've already ordered his steps. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that the old wineskins are dropping off. Mm-hmm. And Father, you are giving him new wineskins.
That's right.
New
wineskins,
Father
thank
God.
Lord.
New wineskins,
thank
Father,
Lord.
Yes, Father. That he wouldn't even dream of going, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that those old wineskins are dropping off. The way of thinking, the way of doing things, Father. Lord, even for the business that his wife has, Lord, I see a new wineskin coming, Father.
Yes.
I see something being entered in, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that Todd places his ear towards your heart. He places his eyes towards you, Father. And Lord, he has a voice for you. And I pray, Father, that you would increase that voice of yours through him, that you'd increase his eyesight. And Father, that he would hear you so clearly, Lord, that he would not doubt at all.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. And we bless him, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry he does here, for this birthing room, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you. I thank you for the gathering. I thank you for Todd and I thank you for Lewis.
Thank
I thank you,
Lord.
You for all the musicians that have brought in the presence of God that has been so heavy in this. And Lord, I thank you for the preparation that this gathering has provided to those of us that were so hungry and so thirsty.
Yes, Lord.
Who were traveling long distances to experience something that we can now experience in our backyard.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I thank you for touching all the lives that have been touched by these words of knowledge, Lord, and by these teachings. That were driven, spirit-driven teachings.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've been blessed and we know it. And we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we ask that you would settle things in Todd's heart. Settle them. Give him peace. Give him comfort. Lord, I pray that he would recognize and acknowledge that you've got everything under control.
Yes, yes Lord.
Thank Lord,
you,
Lord, give him direction in every way. Lord, I pray that he would see clearly. Lord, you have given unto him the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And I pray that that would manifest in him even more than it has in the past. I pray that he would hear from you in unusual ways, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that even notable miracles would be spoken of and would be come to pass through his ministry, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that you would unite Todd and his wife even more than before.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that you'd stir them both up, Lord, like two whirlwinds that combine into one greater whirlwind, Lord. And I pray that you would use them mightily. Pray that they would understand one another as best you would have them to. I pray that they would both hear from your spirit. I pray that they would both respect what the other one has to say and what the other one has to do. And I pray that each would receive from the other. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you would unite them in body, soul, and spirit. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank Amen. You. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. That was very good.
You are loved.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.